Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. It is over in Atlanta. Sixers win it 104-99. There will be a Game 7, and we have much more on this game coming up. But just really quick, watching the end of this game and how the Hawks were not able to cut into that Sixers lead late, the Sixers made free throws. The Sixers did exactly what you see teams do with Steph Curry. When Steph Curry at the end of games, when it comes down time to it in the final 2-3 minutes, we're not going to let you get one of those crazy ass threes off. We're going to stop you and make you have to dish the ball away. And this is why Steph Curry is not as important and can't impact the game in the final few minutes because teams shut him down. Same thing the Sixers did here at the end with Trae Young. He had one shot. He had one hoop in the final 8 minutes. And you saw at the end as they were trying to come back, they weren't going to give Trae Young that three. He had to dish it out, was not able to impact the game. And it was a great defensive strategy because clearly, look, when you're a smaller guy and you need room to get your shot out, okay, it's going to be a lot different in the end of a game when you need to than it is in the beginning of the game when you need to. And here was Trae Young, who struggled in a large way. He's only 6'1", to try to get his shot at the end of the game.
Oh, that's the big thing you have for the Sixers. While we may go after Ben Simmons and some of the other members of this squad for their offensive pieces that are lacking or continued development, all those things, guys, but add Thibel to the mix, right? His offensive game is not quite to where it needs to be just yet. Fortunately, they have Maxey, another young guy, to pick up the slack there. But when you can have Thibel and Ben Simmons on the court together playing D, it suddenly shuts down all those lanes. Just such a good strategy down the stretch, and Embiid kept his composure late after that double tack. Can't wait to hear the postgame from him and from John Collins.
Sixers win it. They force Game 7. We'll have more on this game coming up in a couple of minutes. But right now, he's getting set to join us on the hotline. He is the fansided.com editor-in-chief. He is a longtime pro football insider. He is a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, at least currently, before they wind up, you know, potentially, you know, taking it away from him, because he appears on this show and some of the stuff he says, it's, oh my goodness, it's crazy. We're going to get to Jason Cole coming up in 1 second. And clearly, look, there are two really big stories in the NFL today. We have the Cole Beasley and the vaccine talk, which is getting to be really rampant. And then you have the Packers, who, after they split their time, ready to go, hey, we'll see you again for training camp, say we have one plan, regardless of quarterback. And Matt LaFleur has told Jordan Love, prepare like you are the starter. And this is where Green Bay Packers fans have to prepare like they're going to go 0-16. With us now on the hotline, the man who is the author of the new book, Jordan Love, A Relentless Life in Pursuit of the Packers Starting Quarterback Job. It is Jason Cole. What's happening, J. Cole?
So Staubach called me last week after I outed him as a source.
Okay.
Okay, good. How'd that work out for you?
Not well. And he's ticked at me. And I, you know, finally said, look, buddy, you buck up. I know that the whole thing going to Vietnam was tough. But, you know, once in a while, you got to say that you were the actual source. And you got to put yourself out there a little bit.
Okay. Wow. So, okay. Jason Cole, people who can't talk to you anymore. Anyone with the Dallas Cowboys. Let me write that right there.
Hey, we still have 31 franchises that are out there.
That's true. That's right. There's 31 other teams. It's okay. Well, he can't talk to Tebow anymore, so that's out.
So
Jacksonville is out.
Jacksonville's gone.
Okay, so Jacksonville and Dallas are both out.
I'm down to 30.
Okay.
I'm not real good with Mark Davis and the Raiders, so we're down to 29. And I'm working my way through the league.
That's good. All right.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Everybody else is insiders and everything. You know, hey, I try to expand my reach. You're going the other way. I like it. Not many people do that. Look, I want to have less teams talk to me. I like that.
More concentrated information then.
I know that, listen, because we talked about the Packers, and this is the story you're referring to last week, is that, you know somebody, former quarterback in the NFL, who knows Aaron Rodgers and how much fun he's having twisting the knife at LaFleur and the Packers and all this stuff, doesn't want to go back. What do you make now that you told us it was Roger Staubach? What do you make now of this last couple of days that, hey, Jordan Love was there, prepare, you're the starter, we have one playing a quarterback?
It's great. Matt, enjoy the playoffs when you don't make it. enjoy watching from the couch. Hey, look, I hope Jordan Love is great. I hate cheering against people or anything like that. But let's not kid ourselves. You're going as far as Aaron Rodgers takes you. So, hope that this thing with this whole Rodgers thing works itself out. That's what you need to do. And You need to go to Murphy, and you need to go to Gutkunst, and need to say, hey, look, guys, we need that guy. Fix it. Fix it somehow, some way.
Okay. So they say they're going to fit, but really, how can you fix it at this point?
That's a tough question. I don't know. I mean, because ultimately, it's up to Rodgers. What does Rodgers really want to do? Does he want to play? We've talked about this before. Does he have the anger within him to sit there and say, I am never playing for this team again? That I absolutely, totally refuse to play for these guys. And I'm so angry that I'm willing to say that publicly. Right, in order to get out of this place. Because that's really the only way he can do it. It's the only way any player can do it, is to make it so uncomfortable for the team that they have to get rid of him. The problem is that when you do that, I mean, you cause irrevocable, is that right? Damage to your own reputation. That's number one. Like, your name is mud in Green Bay forever, generally. They won't forgive you. The other part of this is, how much pressure do you think you put on yourself once you do that? Now, I think Aaron Rodgers can take that pressure, but if he says, I want out no matter what, and he gets traded to, say, Denver, he better get to the Super Bowl, minimum, right? Or everybody's going to rip him up one side and down the other. Whether he would have gotten to the Super Bowl with Green Bay or not, there's going to be an enormous amount of pressure for him to win another championship because of taking that kind of stance, if he's willing to go there. And so far he hasn't. He's teased everybody about it. It's clear that he's done it privately. He has not done it publicly.
And if he goes to Las Vegas, then that's the end of any intel on him anyway. So we move on.
Well, it's the end of his career too. I mean,
well, like, there's that too.
Forget intel. At that point in time, intel is the least of his problems. He has to deal with the fact that he's being coached by a guy who would like to do Corona commercials more than actually coach.
Boom. What up? And just keep sending him pictures of the other quarterbacks that won one Super Bowl. That'll be enough to make him recognize the grass isn't always greener. But let's go to the other big NFL story right now, Jason. We'd had it for weeks about coaches and some of the veteran coaches and vaccination and the rules that would be in place for this coming season. And now we've got Cole Beasley, who is, I mean, to his credit, he's taken it up and just here's what I am and here's what I feel about all of this. But how big a problem overall is this going to be for the NFL? They got the new rules that came out this week, a reiteration mostly of last year's rules. But how pervasive is this?
Look, number one, I don't think most fans care. So I don't think it's a real public image problem, and nobody really cares. And I'm not trying to dismiss Cole Beasley, because he's completely right that the NFLPA didn't think this one through very well and didn't help their own guys, because he's absolutely right about the fact that if he's staying in the same hotel with guys who are vaccinated but who are going out, he's just as susceptible, basically, as anybody else. It's not helping him at all, right? And so they have to figure out some other kind of solution. Or, here, Cole, get vaccinated, right? But there are certain people who don't want to go through this. I get that. I understand it. But I just don't think, I don't think that this is going to get in the way of people playing games. Like, they got through last season in a minor miracle. They got through last season with very few embarrassments. Yeah, some reschedules. Yeah, a bizarre Broncos game where, you know, the Broncos had no chance to win the game at all because they didn't have a quarterback. But that, you know, it was very few and far between things, problems that they had last season. So to me, they're going to survive this just fine. And again, your common fan, your common man out there who's, you know, paying attention to football is just like, okay, are they going to play? You know, and they're going to play. There's no question about it. They will find a way around this. I would say this, the NFLPA has botched this, and in large part because the NFLPA doesn't really surprisingly doesn't understand how locker rooms work. The people who are in the leadership, you know, the highest levels of leadership in the NFLPA, they don't understand their constituency and what those guys do. And I know that, you know, that's not a shot really at JT Treader. It's more of a shot at D. Smith.
Is it a case of if the big players on the team came out and said, hey, let's get vaccinated, everybody would get vaccinated? Like, if you saw the big leaders of the team that would come out, like if Josh Allen to come out and said, hey, I'm going to get vaccinated, instead it was, hey, I'm going to, you know, everybody has their own thing, I'm going to do my own thing. Would that change things at all if the big players, the big leaders on the team said, hey, this is what we think, this is why you should get vaccinated, and this is why we need to do it?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think if you go around and everybody says, look, guys, we got to get this done. We're trying to compete. We're trying to win. We're trying to be in games. Like, just do this. You'd probably get everybody to come along pretty quickly in getting vaccinated. It wouldn't be that big a problem. You'd have a few holdout, you know, holdovers. But, like, when Montez Sweat is doing this and he's saying that, what do you say, I'm waiting for more information to come out, like, we got a year's worth of data, dude. What else do you need to know at this point in time? What else is there for you to learn? Or I'm going to wait for, you know, I haven't gotten sick yet. I'm going to wait to get vaccinated. So you're waiting to get sick to get vaccinated? That's sort of counterintuitive. Do you understand, Montez?
You can follow me on Twitter.
Wait. I got one more lighter one for him.
Go ahead.
Just real quick,
sure.
Jason. All right, this will be fast. As you make your predictions for the upcoming season, will you take into account that Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes are on the Madden cover? Yes or no?
Oh, absolutely. That's one. That's like factor number one. Like, you know,
okay.
That's the jinx. I mean, that's the only way that I make my decision based on the Madden cover for the upcoming season.
Okay, good. Just we now have him saying that on record, Smith.
So. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you got that. Yeah,
and I'm okay with that
because it's a prediction.
Yeah, and that's it. Scratched two teams out of the getting out of the Jets' way. The Chiefs aren't going to win. Neither are the Bucks. So I'm okay. It's two teams out of the Jets' way.
Trust me, I got Jets Panthers. It's all the way.
Week
it's
one.
It's Sam Darnold Bowl. They're playing, and then come back. Come to L.A. They're going to be there for you.
That's what it's going to be. After week one, it's going to be, we'll see you in February.
that's what they'll say to each other coming off the field. We'll be back. You'll see us 6 months from now. Yeah. That's it.
Editor-in-chief
and fan the revenge game. The revenge game for whoever loses.
The Zach Wilson revenge game.
Yeah.
He's on Twitter at JasonCole62. That's at JasonCole62. And longtime NFL insider for 29 teams currently in the league.
29 years, but only 29 teams. Yeah. All right. Later.
Work on upsetting another team for next week for us if you can.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon, where we got basketball history tonight. No Kawhi Leonard, doesn't matter. Down 22 at halftime, doesn't matter. The Clippers are in the Western Conference Finals beating the Jazz 131-119. The Jazz scored 72 points in the first half to take a 22-point lead. The Clippers scored 81 in the second half to win this. 39 points from Terrence Mann. He did it all tonight. 9 assists, 9 rebounds, nearly a triple-double, which, oh, by the way, we had a big night for him. Paul George had 28. Reggie Jackson, 27. 10 assists for Reggie Jackson, yeah. 2 in this game. Batum had 16. Not a lot off the bench. I mean, Patrick Beverley did hit a couple of threes, but they were late when it was already decided. This was the Clippers starting five, really 4 of them doing it. Wasn't Marcus Morris. He had a really off night. Only played 29. 9 minutes, 7 points. The Clippers find a way, and like I said last hour, sometimes resiliency is the most important thing you can have as a team, and the Clippers have that, man. This was some kind of achievement knocking off the Jazz the way they did.
I tell you what, you know what the end game of this is? Don't win an award. As soon as you won an award, you got swept out.
Mm.
Rudy Gobert, Jordan Clarkson, hey,
yep.
Here's your hardware.
Yep.
Beat it.
Yep.
4 straight.
Nikola Jokic, here's your hardware. Guess what? You're out. 4 straight.
Yeah, he had a good run. Hey, but he was back in the sulky, so did he really lose?
He was back
on his beloved horse track.
Yes. Well, then listen.
Obviously, he'd rather be playing basketball for those that are going to write me going, are you kidding? He doesn't.
There's winning in life.
Difficult thing to play with, buddy. I'm just saying.
There's winning in life and there's winning in the NBA. There's two different things.
Yeah, we just have all sorts of questions here about Jordan Clarkson and the big goose egg for the second half and why his playing time isn't so great. Rudy Gobert, Mike Conley, and, of course, you know what we threw out there. Are they better without Kawhi? Go!
Joining us now on the hotline. The 8th pick in the 1987 NBA draft, 15 years in the league, 2 stints with the Clippers. You can follow him on Twitter at OldenPolonese1. That's at OldenPolonese1. Oh, welcome in, man. Your Clippers, they did it, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, they did it finally. 50 years in the making. Oh, my goodness. It was a great game, great series. And these guys, they stepped up and played well, man. You got to give them credit.
So, Alden, I think the big question everybody wants to know is, you had 2 stints with the Clippers. Why did you fall short?
Well, I personally didn't fall short. I mean, I was on the team that made the playoffs for the first time in L.A. But you got to remember, we're playing, you know, Stockton and Malone. You know, some guy named Michael Jordan was around. Some guy
named Never heard of him.
Kobe Bryant was around. Some guy, you know, it was...
All right, so look,
I think that's why we fell short.
This team right here, I mean, I just talked about resiliency being the most important thing you can have. What did you see in this Clippers team to get to where they are this postseason? What's the most important thing you've seen?
The resiliency. I think one of you guys said that. But also, they really believe and trust it in the next man up mantra. It's like, it's not that they were hoping guys got hurt, but when somebody got hurt, somebody else stepped up. These guys were ready. Perfect example is Terrence Mann. I mean, you scored 12 points the first 4 games. Then you get 13 in game 5 and 39 tonight. I mean, that's just staying ready. Everybody did that. Morris did it for a while. He carried them. Reggie Jackson is a walking confidence, you know, machine because he's so full of confidence. He believes in himself unlike anybody I've ever seen. And so, you know, Paul George stepped up big time even when Kawhi went down. And, you know, he had a lot to prove. So all these guys stayed ready. And I thought, you know, also you got to give Ty Lue credit. He pulled some, the right button. He pressed the right buttons and made some great adjustments. And Utah couldn't figure it out.
And Pat, as soon as Patrick Beverley hit his first 3-pointer, Olden, Jason and I were on air. And I go, well, that's it. Now you got Pat Bev with confidence on a 3-point shot. This is not your night, Utah. You're done.
Well, that's true to a certain extent, but he, you know, Patrick Beverley feels like he's the best player on the court.
He's a great agitator, right?
Confidence, but when he made a shot when they were up 7, and if he misses that shot, Utah comes down and scores. We really have a game. So that was really a big 3-pointer Patrick Beverley hit.
OP, when you take a look at the playoffs now and you have to handicap that we have a Suns team that nobody believed in, even though they were this good. Now Chris Paul is getting his moment in the sun. Here's a Clipper team that everybody wanted to count out. Here they're coming back from down 2-0. How do you see the Western Conference Finals?
Well, I have to say by prefacing that when I was on with the Odd Couple months back, I said the Suns would get to the finals. So I still believe that. And because they have a solid team, you know, with Chris Paul playing the way he is, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges. I mean, they have a solid squad. And it's going to be different for the Clippers playing them. Now, what the Clippers did for two games, and we need to talk about people, you know, in the business, is the fact that Quinn Snyder messed this whole thing up as a coach. Because you saw what the Clippers did. They played a five out. And so penetration, kick out to a corner. Terrence Mann is a really good player. But there's no way on God's green earth he's supposed to score 39 points on you. And the reason why is because Gobert could not come out far enough to challenge those three-pointers. And so whoever he was on, that was really the guy that was sitting in a corner waiting for an open three-pointer. And so as a coach, you got to make those adjustments. You got to either go small like the Clippers did or get somebody in there that could play defense. But the Clippers are going to have a hard time with Phoenix because Monty Williams is not going to make that mistake. And also they have a bunch of guys that are very athletic.
Olden, when we get into this game in particular, right, obviously a collapse, great effort. Obviously, we celebrate the victors, but we always have to go and dissect what all went wrong. Did Mike Conley look like he should have been logging as many minutes as he did tonight?
No, but that wasn't the problem. The problem was on defense. The problem was Gobert. You know, you're the defensive player of the year, and you can't stop anybody because – you can't rotate. You don't move your feet well. Derek Favors moves his feet better on the outside than Rudy Gobert. And so to me, I would have had him in there more, or I would have went with a smaller lineup, guys that can move their feet or challenge shots. I'd rather you score two than three. But I'm not going to give you both. I'm not going to give you layups and three-pointers. And also another mistake Utah made was the fact that you up 25 points, 26, whatever it was, why are you still jacking up long threes? And that's where that crappy analytics stuff come into play. You know, because it's like people forget how to play basketball. You know, don't play dumb basketball when you're up 25. You know, you got to figure out a way to play smart basketball.
Wait, I'm just getting this breaking news in right now. Olden Polynice has been named head coach of the Utah Jazz. Congratulations, Olden. You got your work cut out for you.
Well,
after this season.
Look, you got into the coaching, Olden. It was something that Jason asked rhetorically as this game came to an end. If it's the predecessor in the box for the Clippers, do they have a chance in the series? Would they have come back? And would Doc Rivers have been able to make the adjustments that Ty Lue did?
Well, you're saying if Doc Rivers had been the coach?
Yeah, this was
correct.
Doc instead of Ty Lue.
Oh, they would have lost three games ago. And that's the difference. You know, Ty Lue as an assistant can't pull triggers on a lot of things, but as a head coach, he can. You know, and so you saw that difference. And so to me, you know, it's as simple as that. To be able to trust your guys and say, hey, this is what we're going to do. And he trusted all those guys. And then those guys trusted in each other. It's not that hard. It's not rocket science. I don't know why we always make this thing harder than it should be.
Because I can't do it.
Three games
ago. Well, it would have been over after three. They would have thrown the damn towel. It would have been Duke sitting there yelling.
Olden Polynice with us, 15 years in the NBA, Fox Sports Radio NBA analyst with us as we break down the Clippers going to the NBA Western Conference Finals for the first time in 50 years. And, you know, OP, when I look at the Clippers, and for so long, they have been the second team in the city. And really, they're always going to be the second team because the Lakers are the Lakers. getting Kawhi Leonard to show up was a big deal because it showed, hey, we can get big stars to come and want to buy in here. Has this bought the Clippers, like, legitimacy until further notice? Hey, we're in the Western Conference Finals now, and all the stories of us, hey, we can succeed and keep this going for a long period of time?
Listen, the Clippers are going to do what they're going to do, just like every other team. And negativity is going to come because negativity is going to come. The Clippers can win, you know, championship this year, next year, and the year after, and they'll still be second place to the Lakers. They can win 15, and they'll still end up being second. It's just going to be the narrative that people want to spew. So at the end of the day, what the Clippers are doing and what they need to continue doing is what we've just seen. Play your game. Mind your own business. Do your own thing. It doesn't matter what other people say. Like Kawhi said it best, I didn't know what was going on because I don't pay attention to social media. And so to me, that's how I think the whole team has been processing everything, is that they're not listening to people. You know, they're not listening to the outside noise. And so that's how it's got to be. You know, just do the best that you can do. And right now you're in the Western Conference Finals. Anything can happen. I mean, they have just as much chance of beating Phoenix as Phoenix has of beating them. So it's a toss-up for me between these two teams. If Kawhi plays, I'm going to give the advantage to the Clippers. If he doesn't play, then Phoenix has the advantage.
No, you got to stick with the Suns. The Suns were your pick. I picked the Clippers to go to the finals before the playoffs started. We got to stay where you with who you picked. I'll stay with who I picked, and we'll see how it turns out. You got to stay there for a little bit.
Oh, I always stay with my picks now.
You got to stick. You got to stick with them.
I don't haggle and you know, all that stuff. I pick them. I'm writing it out. That's how I do it.
That's it. He made the pick, and he's staying with it. All right, Olden, we got two game sevens. We saw the Sixers who – you couldn't have blamed them or wouldn't have been surprised if they'd given a subpar effort, but they get the win tonight, game seven of that series to come. And then obviously we got Bucks Nets. You want to give us a quick preview and winners of who's advancing out of those?
Well, the quick preview is going to be the guy we just mentioned, the aforementioned Doc Rivers, which, you know, is he going to like sit back, you know, with his hand on top of his head or up in the air when, you know, Atlanta's making runs against his team, or is he going to coach and do what he needs to do? And so it's going to come down to that. It's not going to come down to X's and O's. It's going to come down to how he handles the situation, the motivation, making the right calls, because both teams, I mean, you know, Atlanta didn't play well tonight, and they still, you know, had a shot because Philadelphia kept trying to give the game to them, you know, because right. They up and they still jacking up three-pointers off one leg like Joel Embiid was doing. Ben Simmons still can't make a free throw to save his life. And so to me, those are things Doc Rivers is going to have to figure out, because in a game seven, you know, you got to throw everything, including the kitchen sink. So I'm going on a limb right now. I say Atlanta wins game seven.
You can follow him on Twitter at OldenPolonese1. That's at OldenPolonese1. Olden, as always, buddy, appreciate your time with us. We will talk to you next week, my friend. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, guys.
See you, buddy.
Oh, my God. Awesome
spit
stuff.
Fire.
Oh,
they would have lost three games ago.
Lost three games. Well, I did tell you, hey, was Doc going to win this game? The answer is no. Clearly, the answer is no.
Well, but I thought I'd throw it up as a more general piece.
Oh, yeah. No. And it was.
He spiked it.
Yeah. But I want to answer your, you know, a few minutes ago, we talked about different things with the Jazz right now, because here are the Jazz blowing this series. And you mentioned, you know, Mike Conley playing all these minutes. And it's like, why, when he's coming back and clearly, you know, Mike Conley wasn't himself, you weren't getting anything from anybody else tonight. I mean, you kind of needed something. So it's like, I think he only played because who else? I mean, Rudy Gobert had a horrible game, right?
Awful.
You know,
he is Donovan being Mitchell. Assailed in the social media sphere of all the blue check marks and basketball analysts, fans, well, and you and I here.
Yeah, well, look, and look, Donovan Mitchell, you know, look, 39-9-9, he had a phenomenal game. Clarkson was great in the first half, but nothing in the second half, right? Ingles only gave you 18 minutes, gave you 5 points. Nobody else was doing anything, so we kind of had to play. You had to play another guard sometime because you're not getting any offense. So it's like, okay, if nobody else is working, let's see if maybe you can do it. Look, he's a veteran, he's been in the league a long time, he's been a really good player. Let's see if maybe he gets some kind of legs under him after a bit, and it just didn't happen. You know, I mean, it's a tough thing. And you know, when you get to Rudy Gobert, the other guy you mentioned is that it's not that Gobert needs to be doing more things offensively because, look, he's a 14 and 13 guy, right? It's not that Rudy Gobert suddenly, he went from 27 and 13. No, he's a 14 and 13 guy. But defensively, he's got to be able to alter the game a bit. You know, Olden talked about not having the right rotations if you're Quinn Snyder. What's going on? You have to put, when you have a player like that, you have to put him in a position where he can help alter the game, and he didn't. I mean, 81 points in the second half of the Clippers, 81 points in this game. You got the defensive player of the year there in the middle. I mean, that really is just something that's baffling. That's more baffling to me than Mike Conley playing all those minutes because, you know, they were just looking for some kind of spark. But yeah, the Gobert thing is a bigger deal to me than Conley.
Well, Gobert, a huge thing. And I'd like an explanation of exactly what happened with Jordan Clarkson. I mean, obviously, defensive efforts. We talk about Pat Bev, and I jokingly talked about the offense, but defensively, he's a menace. We know this. All right, we've watched this for a year. You want to talk about a guy who's an antagonist. You got some of the greats that we often mention when Gascon is around talking about defenseurs in the National Hockey League. Pat Beverly is one of the great ones here. I mean, how many times did you see him kind of getting in guys' ears? Not quite to where you're getting them to lose their mind in the moment with fisticuffs, but you could just see the body language shift. I don't know what kind of trash he's talking, but bodying up and playing through the reverberation of whistles like you're an NFL player. That's kind of how he goes. And then when you get some offense on top of it, you're the big winner, 27 minutes tonight. So, all credit, Ty Lue and this squad. Next challenge is ready.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up next, we are still buzzing off the end of this game. I'll tell you why the Clippers are going to go to the NBA Finals, not just because I picked them. I'll tell you what they're going to do in the West Finals against Chris Paul and the Suns. Plus, maybe one NBA analyst was right what he said about a certain star player. That's next, right here. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo.
The Clippers are in the Western Conference Finals. They will take on the Suns. Something that, saying this on June 18th, if I had said this in January, you would have said, what are you, nuts? Joining Mike and I now on the hotline, our insider from Vegas, former odds maker at Caesars. You can see him Monday through Friday, the lead actor on Fox Bet Live on Fox Sports 1, Todd Furman. Todd, what's happening, buddy?
Not a whole heck of a lot tonight. How are you boys faring?
What's up? Not a lot. The big Clippers party at your place isn't off the hook right now?
Yeah, I could care less about the Clippers advancing to the Western Conference Finals, but I'll give their fan base credit for accomplishing something we didn't know was possible, especially without their superstar. But to be honest, when I wake up tomorrow morning, my life won't be a whole heck of a lot different.
Wow. See, when you say that at the beginning there, you say, boy, you lost a lot of money on the Clippers because you bet them to lose the series, but you're just really nonplussed by the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I am surprised a little bit by the Clippers' resilience. I mean, when you face a 25-point deficit and are able to rally, led by Terrence Mann's career high, and that deserves a ton of credit. I think Quinn Snyder, along with the rest of the Jazz, have to do some soul-searching. You thought things could be a little bit better with Mike Conley back in the fold, but the reality of it is the Jazz lost this as much as the Clippers went out there and took it from them. Let's see how they handle prosperity when Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals roll around, and we'll see what the Suns look like with or without Chris Paul early on.
Hey, Todd, what kind of live betting odds do you get when your team's down 25?
You know, 20-1 was the highest number I saw available on the Clips in this spot. It wasn't quite what the Atlanta Hawks got to before they erased their massive deficit against the 76ers. You could have had them at 25-1, but there was no doubt a handful of folks out there, whether it was blind loyalty or a handicapping angle, that felt they were going to plunk down a few bucks and try and put up a little bit to make a lot. It seems these 25-point comebacks that used to be a thing that happened once every 10 years or so have happened much more frequently over the last 96 hours. I'm not sure this is going to be the norm, but it's definitely created some unique storylines as we talk about second half collapses.
You know, I want to remember who wrote this in my timeline, but I wanted to bring this up to you, is that somebody wrote, said, you know what, is it worth it when a team gets down 20 in an NBA playoff game for me to just, if I put money on it, am I going to come out ahead at some point? Because of the odds I'm going to get, a team down 20, we've seen this now a couple of times, teams coming back to win.
No, you'd still be down money if you did this blindly. I mean, 20-1 for something that had happened six times in more than 600 occurrences. Recency bias is always the case. If you trust the numbers long-term, it's a losing proposition. Of course, you have to put up an awful lot of money to make a few bucks, but I wouldn't say this is a strategy any more than betting the first score of the Super Bowl will be a safety as a long way to try and bolster your 401k.
Hey, gotta plan the work the plan, and roll the dice. Okay, we got two game sevens. One you like more than the other. Does Doc Rivers play into your analysis?
I think the Milwaukee Bucks series a lot more fascinating, because when we had watched the first two games of that series, albeit with a relatively healthy Brooklyn Nets team, James Harden, of course, notwithstanding, we thought that this series was going to be over in four games, five games max. And to the credit of the Bucks, the team that's been much maligned for their playoff shortcomings, they've been able to get through that. And if it wasn't for the Herculean efforts of Kevin Durant, excuse me, in game five, we'd have been talking about the Bucks closing this series out in six instead of even forcing game seven. You mentioned Doc Rivers, and you do wonder if the 76ers gained a little bit of confidence. They withstood Atlanta's best shot today and were able to come out of this game unscathed. But we know Doc Rivers. We know the 76ers aren't afraid to blow a big lead themselves. I don't think it's just a formality that they win that game going away as 6.5-point favorites.
All right, so Todd, if you could get a crystal ball out here for the next three things I'm going to ask you. Clippers, Suns, who wins? And then in the Eastern Conference Finals, the matchup is going to be what?
I think if Chris Paul is back, I'll take the Suns. I think this is a Clippers team who's really going to feel the absence of Kawhi Leonard. And while we talk about the Clippers as a franchise making history, getting to the Western Conference Finals, I think this is the year that Chris Paul and company get over the hump, and he would love to exact a measure of revenge. So I'll take the Suns in that series, of course, with the caveat that we see Chris Paul even if he does miss game one. And as far as the Eastern Conference, I'll take the Milwaukee Bucks to go on the road and win game seven and spoil the party for the big three. And I think you do see the 76 Sixers, even with Atlanta's best shot, emerge victorious with a little bit of pedigree. Joel Embiid will control the middle. So we're talking about a Bucks 76ers Eastern Conference Finals, and I think the Suns knock off the Clippers in the Western Conference.
Todd, let me jump over to baseball if I can for a moment. Spider Tech and all the analysis and the rules and everybody hand-wringing, no pun intended, has begun. Have we seen any shift in day-to-day odds and what we're going in terms of pitcher pricing?
You have seen some of the totals get bet up, but there's a combination of factors there. It's not just the lack of a sticky gripping substance for some of the higher profile pitchers out there. As the weather gets warmer, even these mush balls will tend to carry a little bit further. So you have seen some of these numbers get bet up, even if they don't ultimately become winners. You know, 9.5s are going to 10s. 8.5s are going to 9s, and you have to try and modify your handicap accordingly. You've seen some money come in against a couple of these pitchers, but I think after multiple starts, you're going to see the Garrett Coles of the world and the others that came under scrutiny figure out what needs to be done to adjust to life without sticky tack or any of the other substances that they've used to try and give themselves the grip that'll raise up their spin rate and everything else that we go along with it. The one thing we see for betting markets all the time, guys, you may be able to get over on odds makers once or twice, but ultimately the efficiency in the market will catch up and the prices will bear that out.
All right, Todd, I have my last thing for I want a parlay. I want you to give me the odds on this. You ready?
I'm ready. Fire away, Hart.
I want the odds on the Mets to win the NL East and Jacob DeGrom is the Cy Young Award winner and he's the NL MVP.
Well, I think it's getting closer by the day. I mean, when you look at that Mets offense, I think they should be smarter and try and get Jacob DeGrom out there in some capacity, much like Shohei Ohtani does for the Angels to bolster their productivity. But the Cy Young, the only thing holding him back from winning that award is injury. I mean, Kevin Gausman has been outstanding, but Jacob DeGrom is doing things we've never seen in a historical baseball context. So you can give him the Cy Young now. MVP odds continue to shrink by the day. I think it'll be interesting to see if we can get a pitcher to win that. And as far as the Mets winning the division, I think those two will go hand in hand. So if you're looking to try and hit that trifecta of sorts, I'd have to offer you a price of 8-1. Lowball you a little bit because I know Mets fans lead with their orange and blue blinders.
Hey, Todd, I'm going to give Jason some credit there because I really thought there was going to be a fourth component to that parlay.
Yeah, I mean, all of these, honestly, Harmon, all the Friday nights we've been doing this, this might be the most realistic parlay that Smith has laid out for us that could actually happen in a positive manner for a team he lives and dies for.
Yeah, oh, I thought he was going to add the Knicks angle of what happens now that Kawhi's been shown to be non-essential, that he opts out and becomes a Nick.
Yeah, that he becomes an expendable component of the Clippers' plans moving forward, that it's building around Paul George and Terrence Mann.
That's right.
I don't know if that's going to fit in, but, hey, we've seen weirder things in the past, so I never rule anything out.
Can I tell you guys, like, I tweeted out, we talked about, we joked around that, hey, obviously they don't need Kawhi. He should opt out and go to the Knicks, right? So I tweeted that out just straight. And I can't tell you how people in my timeline are going, what are you, stupid? What are you, nuts? I'm like, oh, my God, really? I said, they don't need Kawhi anymore. He should opt out and go to the Knicks. And everybody's like, who is this guy? What the hell is he talking about?
Hey, as people at our network can tell you, Smith, it always pays to stay relevant, even if you say things you don't truly believe in.
Oh, boy. He's on to, well, no, he should opt out and go to the Knicks. I mean, that's 100%. It's not going to happen, but, I mean, he should.
No, no, no. You're just swallowing up the great line he just said. Are you kidding?
I mean, it's not a lie if you believe it. You know, channel your inner George Costanza and things will work out well for you in terms of your Knicks fandom.
All right. Well, lastly, hey, Todd, I you know, we've been covering everything. It's a serious question here for a second. I've been covering everything tonight. You know, big night in the NBA playoffs. I missed what happened. What happened in hockey tonight? What happened with the Canadians lost, right? They were losing in the final minute and then they went on to lose, right?
An inexplicable puck handling error from one of the better goalies of our generation, from Marc-Andre Fleury. And then somehow, unbeknownst to me, the Vegas Golden Knights give up a 2-0 in overtime, and you have to give the Canadiens credit. I mean, this is a team that had battled back from that 3-1 series deficit against the Maple Leafs and almost appear to be living a charm existence, even without their head coach that tested positive for COVID. So we'll see exactly what Game 4 brings on Sunday night, but you have a lot of anxious Vegas Golden Knights fans thinking this was going to be a walkover. Tried to warn people that Montreal wasn't going to go down without a fight, and I think Vegas knows this series is going 6 at minimum and 7 if they're going to come away victorious.
He's on Twitter, at Todd Furman. That is at Todd Furman, the lead actor on Fox Sports 1's Fox Bet Live, Monday through Friday. Todd, as always, buddy, appreciate your time, my friend. We'll talk to you next week as DeGrom inches closer to the MVP.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Look forward to it.
You're the best. Right. Be well, buddy.
There goes Todd Furman. No, and clearly, look, that was as awful a goal as you could possibly see.
Yeah.
Just for a second, Marc-Andre Fleury, one of the best goalies of the past decade plus in the NHL, an inexplicable turnover behind his net, and the Canadians put a puck in an empty net. They go on to win in overtime. That's one of those losses where if I'm a Vegas fan, I don't sleep for like a day and a half. I'm like, what just happened? What just happened that was so incredibly awful?
Well, that's just it, right? It's a game of inches, and sometimes concentration lapse for just a second costs you everything. What did it cost you?
And I am Montreal. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Thanks, as always, a huge night from Steve DeSager, the Terrence Mann of the show this evening.
Huge effort. Absolutely. He was unstoppable.
Coming up next, Suns or Clippers, who's going to the NBA Finals? We'll tell you. This is Fox Sports Radio.
It's not Blake's fault. It's not Blake's fault. It's not on Blake. It's on all of us.